Hello, and welcome to Small Business Happy Hour, a podcast where we interview a different entrepreneur or small business owner every week to hear their story.
We chat about their business, passions, struggles, and all things small business. Oh, and we drink with our guests during the interview, hence the happy hour.
I'm your host, Derek, founder of Yoga for All Humans, a fully online yoga studio.
And I'm your host, Holly, creator of the blog The Bitter Lemon and author of many books. We are so happy you're here.
Hi, Holly.
What up, what up?
I'm sick.
I'm sick.
I can't come. I'm sick. No, I think it's just allergies. So apologies to all the listeners. Tonight's guest, we're recording for the first time right before an episode of the episode we're talking about. But we've had to like reschedule them a couple times, you know, but on our end and their end. So I was like, I'm just going to push through it.
That is a entrepreneur, like, I don't want to say rite of passage, but I feel like right. When you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, like, you never get a sick day, or you are run down, so you get sick, and you're sick, so you're run down. It's one of those things.
Yeah, no, that's very real. Because like I did take a sick day at work today, right? Yeah. But yeah, like I don't get sick days for the studio or anything, so
yeah,
that's real. I went to Louisiana last week for my day job. I go there about once a quarter and had a really good visit. You know, it was a great week at work. But almost every time I go to a different state, I always come back with really bad allergies. So that's why I sound like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel for you. I wasn't going to say anything about this because I'm really like in 2024, I'm trying to like not get worked up about small stuff, especially like,
yeah,
I do notice in years past, I notice I have a tendency to like, sometimes I'll really get stuck on something and like, I'll stew about it. And like, maybe I'll call a friend and vent to them about it. But then I just get like all wrought up. So like with work stuff or whatever it is, I'm really trying to just let stuff go because I don't want to be stressed and I don't want stuff to blow up and be bigger than it is. So if I start getting mad about something, I go walk on my treadmill or go get some fresh air and just like let it pass, like serenity now, you know? And, but like something that I've been, I wouldn't say pissed about, but just like something that really kind of is sticking to me is that, you know, I have my Etsy shop and I have worked really hard to do all the things that you're supposed to do to like get visibility on Etsy, like have a lot, you know, I just published my 200th listing like last week. I update my shop all the time. And one thing that Etsy measures is how quickly you respond to people that message you. Like they want you to respond within 24 hours to people. So I have the app on my phone so that I can respond right away. And they also want you to get, you know, really good customer reviews. Obviously, reviews are great for any business. But the other thing that Etsy requires all shops is to have like a accurate shipping, like physical shipping with a tracking number. And I have a digital shop, so I don't have technically any shipping or any tracking number. And it doesn't necessarily penalize me, but Etsy has this thing every month they call a star seller. And if you do all three of those things, get your messages, get great reviews, have your tracking info on all your shipments, then you are awarded with this star seller badge. And the badge even shows up in search results. So like they don't even have to visit your shop to see the badge. Like the listing looks different when you have this badge. And Etsy puts out all this information about how buyers trust star sellers more than people who don't have the badge. So they said even buyers spend 17% more with shops that have this badge. So every month, I do everything I can to earn this freaking badge. Okay. And it's so, it's not dumb, but it's kind of dumb. Like, so when I have to put in tracking info, I use a fake tracking number. That's the only way that I personally can get around it. And I've never had any problems doing that. And I always have earned a star seller badge. I have all 5-star reviews. I message within the first 10 minutes of somebody messaging me like 5-star, everything is perfect. And I've gotten this badge. And I will say I have had increased sales. Do I know if it's from the badge directly? No, I don't. But it will tell you every month. Like, you can check every day and say, where are you at? Like, are you on track to getting this star seller badge or not? And in February, it kept saying I was not on track to earn it in March. And I was like, why? So I messaged, you know, the help being like, it's saying this and like, I don't understand why. And I went through like an hour chat back and forth with someone, showed them screenshots of everything and showed them like, I'm doing everything right. Why is it saying I'm not on track? And they're like, unfortunately, you're experiencing one of our technical difficulties that our IT team is working on. And I'm like, well, when are they going to get that fixed? Because I need a badge. And they're like, we'll give you an update as soon as we can. Well, about 2 weeks went by, no update. So I reached out to help again and they went through the same thing. Unfortunately, saying the same thing. So here comes March 1st and that's when they award you the badge or not. I did not earn my badge. And every day when, you know, I don't make a sale, I just sit and think like, is this because I don't have a badge? And it's so frustrating because I know I'm not the only person that has an Etsy shop that probably experienced this glitch. Mm. Like, that is, I mean, that's not my full income. Obviously, I have a full-time job, but that affects my business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it's not my fault. And obviously, buyers don't know that. They just don't see a badge on my listing.
Right.
And it's just, I mean, are they going to have it for April? Probably not.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Isn't it? It's like, and this is a reminder. I know I mentioned it here on the podcast before that like one of my goals is to create a separate shop. And like, this is just a reminder to me that like, this is why like Etsy does have a lot of tools to help you succeed. But stuff like this, it seems like something small, but it's like their problem and I mean, they're not fixing it.
That reminds me of when I was trying to get my business like verified on Google. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird because you would think that like these kind of things, even like the tracking thing, like why don't they have an alternative for you for tracking because you're a digital business, right? Same thing with the Google thing. They were like, we mailed you a postcard in the mail that has your like your verification code on it or something. I was like, that's funny because I'm an online business. There's no address listed. So where the fuck did you mail this? You
know? Right.
And I had like, it took like a month to like go round and round and finally get it verified. And then it was very suspicious because while I was trying to get everything solved, I was getting like spam calls pretending like they were trying to verify my Google listing. And I was like, did Google fucking sell my information? I'm like, what is going on? You know, it was just the wildest thing. And I still get calls like probably every other week. I'll get a round of calls telling me that, you know, I'm not verified. I am. I had to do like literally a video call like this, like show like my, you know, founding papers of my company and all kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, you think I just made this behind me for fun?
Right.
Yeah, it was weird. It's just like, we're in a digital age, but it's just not set up that way sometimes. It's very strange. Yeah, get it together, Etsy. That's annoying.
I know. I hope I have a better update soon because, yeah, I got the badge in February and then ever since then it was like, you're not on track. I'm like, bitch, I am on track.
Track.
Like, you got me obsessed with this badge and now you won't give it to me.
Right. Yeah. So. I can't even. Other than being sick, I've just been reading. I got a lot of reading done. I get a lot of reading done while I travel. I'm almost done with the fifth Thorn-a-Glass book. Shit really just hit the fan earlier today while I was reading, so it was fun. I don't know what I'm going to do whenever I finish that series. I mean, I guess I'll find something else to read, or we'll see.
Yeah, find
Yeah.
another hobby.
Right. We're back in the video gaming. I haven't been video gaming since I started reading, so
Yeah.
yeah. Well, our guests tonight are fun, and I know them because I've literally had, I'm trying to think of a clever way to say this.
You have their permanent imprint on your skin.
Yes, they've been printed on me, literally. So we're interviewing a tattoo shop called Plush PDX or Plush Tattoos PDX. We'll talk about it more in the intro or in the episode. But it's a really sweet couple in Portland, and they're originally from Hawaii. And so we'll talk about what their journey like that, was and why they made the move. But I found them through the power of TikTok. Actually, my friend Lauren did, because I wanted to get a tattoo while I was in Portland. And my issues with tattoos has always been I just can't decide what I want. And so they had like a tarot card tattoo reading as an option, where they did like a tarot reading and created a tattoo based on the reading, and it was such a cool experience. And the two of them are just like a really awesome power team, and anything we can do to help support them, we're here for it, because they're like 100% vegan. They're, really adamant about being a safe space, and they're BIPOC Filipino owned. So, and just like hearts of gold. Like three, I don't know, I was probably with them for like 4 hours. Regardless of the pain, it went by really fast.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know this is going to be a good conversation, so.
Yeah, it makes me want to go visit. I feel like as long as my friend lives in Portland and I go visit, I'm going to get a tattoo every time I go. So
Do
yeah, that's the plan.
it.
Awesome. We all enjoy.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi. You
He just went into the
should.
bathroom really fast. His client literally just left.
Oh, you're good. You
How
figured
are
it out.
you?
I'm a little sick. I have some allergy issues
Oh.
going on, but
Oh
yeah, I was just bitching about to Holly. I was in Louisiana last week for work, and pretty much any time I go to a different state, like whenever I came back from Portland, I had hay fever. Like anytime I go anywhere, I come back with allergies. So
no. You're a
it's to be
little seasoning
expected.
guy.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm fine. How are you?
That's good. Yeah, I'm good. We've been so busy, which
Yeah.
is good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're busy though. But yeah, it can be exhausting since it's just the two of you.
Yes.
Do you all ever like have scheduled days off?
We try to take Sundays and Mondays off, but
Okay.
then with people who like travel and stuff, we kind of like, if they're only here for a day and they really want to do the tarot thing, we're like, oh, okay, we'll do it,
Yeah.
But those are fun too, so it's not so bad.
Right. Yeah. You have to expend a lot of energy, whenever you're doing all of that. So it can be a lot of really emotionally exhausting. I managed a salon for a while, and that's how
Oh,
it is for
wow.
hairstylists too. Like hairstylists are just like they always have to be on, so it can be really draining. Welcome back, Tony. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, y'all.
Thank you.
This is Holly.
Hi,
Hi. Howdy.
Thanks for hopping on. Well, I think y'all kind of know the ropes with, or if I don't, I think I explained it pretty well whenever I was there. It was a while ago. But our goal is really to uplift small businesses doing good work. Obviously, I loved my experience there, so wanted to highlight y'all however I could. I was just saying, we were recording an intro right before this, and I was like, I hope Lauren lives there for a while, because every time I come back, I'm going to come get a tattoo. So,
yay!
Let's go. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
We're excited to talk to y'all. I don't know if you bring alcohol to work or even if you'll drink, but you know, that's one of our first questions, is if you're partaking in happy hour.
Oh, honestly, I'm just drinking water right now.
I am. Actually have the can in the back. I'm drinking a locally made, this like local company called Deadstock Coffee. They make speaking of supporting local, yeah. Company called Deadstock Coffee. I'm not sure if you heard of it. It's downtown. Mm-hmm. It's like a BIPOC owned, and they had this cold brew experimental drink they made that mixes, you know what, it's an Arnold Palmer, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's like the tea with lemonade, but they made a LeBron armored. I gotta get the can. But anyway, it's been, look, they've mixed their cold brew with black tea and lemonade, so it's like a weird, like coffee lemonade concoction. That's what I'm drinking right now. Water as well. No alcohol, but that's like a weird coffee beverage. It's really good.
It is good. Okay. Because it sounds really good to me. I would love to try it. I'll have to check that out next time I come in.
It's really cool. They sell by 4-packs too at the shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's cool as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. What are you drinking? Like a Theraflu?
You know what? I said, if I'm feeling miserable, I'm still going to have my wine. So.
Wow. That is commitment.
I love it. I haven't been drinking this week so far, but I was like, I'll have a little wine tonight. I've been hydrating really well during the days. Tony, I think you missed that I was just having allergy issues, which is why I sound kind of easily. Yeah.
The spring's coming.
And I just went to Louisiana last week. So like anytime I go to a different state, I always come back with allergy issues the following. It's like clockwork. It never fails. So I've just come to expect it at this point. But yes, I'm having my wine, my Pinot Noir. But I'll take it easy.
Like you do. Take it easy.
Wine's good for you.
It's
wine down. Holly, you got a mocktail, I'm assuming?
No, actually, because today I'm on day 3
of
juice fast. I do it once a month, and so my dinner right now, which is a chocolate banana protein shake.
Ooh, I like press is nice.
I love that. Is I do I call it a fast or a juice journey, because I feel like the word cleanse is not appropriate. But I get all of my juices and stuff from Pressed. I love it. They came out with these, like a calm shot that's like magnesium and cherry juice. And so I do one of those before I go to bed, and it is not only delicious, but it really does help.
Nice.
Dang, that sounds good.
So yeah, we got a mix of beverages tonight.
You sure do. First question, you know, obviously we want to hear about your business, but like obviously I know a bit about the backstory, but for our listeners that don't, I would just love to hear about your journey to Portland and how kind of Plush came to be.
Cool.
Sure. So I guess I'll just give the nutshell version of it. Mm-hmm. So I was born and raised in Hawaii. He's a Navy brat, if you can say that. And he moved around a lot. And then we met while he was stationed in Hawaii, his family. And then we were working together at a coffee shop, and we worked really well together. And we were always seeing each other like 5 days a week, at 4 a.m. So we like knew the real version of ourselves, and we could tolerate that. And so after 4 years of like really being good friends and coworkers, we're like, I guess we should start dating and like maybe get married. And so we did that. And then he started his tattoo apprenticeship. Like even on the day before our wedding, he was doing apprentice stuff. Like he was like always grinding and stuff like that. And he joined a street shop. Oh, he worked at a street shop, and then he joined another street shop after his apprenticeship was done. And then one of the guest artists from Portland kind of recruited him after a few years after. So yeah, I came up here, had a 1-year contract at that shop. And then I started tattoo school. And right around the time I graduated was the ending of his contract. So we were like, we work together really well, so we should just do something together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the story.
And here we are. So whenever you say street shop, what does that mean?
It's like a typical like tattoo shop where you walk in and he has like flash on the walls and there's like a group of tattooers there and either have an appointment or you just, a street shop is like where it's not like private studio based. Ours is more private studio / street shop now.
Yeah.
When you say private studio, it's mostly just like one dude or couple persons, and then it's only appointment only, you know what I mean? Which a lot of shops have changed to during past COVID, just because for obvious reasons, you know what I mean? No more walk-ins from 2018, pretty much. It's starting to come back together now, interestingly, the walking in and society and, you know what I mean, all that stuff. So, but anyway, yeah, street shop is a shop where you can just like, literally just walk in usually and just get tattooed right away. For us, it's a little different now, but that's where it's a good place to start. It's like the base of tattooing.
Okay. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So how's Portland going for y'all? I remember whenever I was there last time, it was going well, still good.
Yeah. Actually, in a few days, it'll be our 2-year anniversary of moving here.
That's wild.
We love it though. We love it.
Yeah. So far, I love Portland, man. I've always wanted to live in a city. And I think Portland's just like the perfect little city to start off in America. You know, you got a little bit of you got the city vibe that's not too city. It's small town that's not too small town. Like, you know what I mean? Like, our sister-in-law, Amber's sister, lives in New York. And we visit there, like, try to go yearly. And that is like, boom, city.
You that's know what like mean? City. Like, the next
city, you know what I mean? Like two city, like I have to like keep up with the pace, you know, over here. We come back home to Portland. It's just so calm and nice. And artsy. I love it. Yeah. It's a
wonderful. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to hang in New York City, that's for sure. That's it. Yeah, it's fine to visit every now and then, but no, I'm not a big city person. Yep. Austin is too big for me, really. So, because Holly and I are both in Austin. I don't know if you remember where it was. Yeah. So I love the name Plush, one, because it's cute. But where did the name come from?
Oh,
I really like this story. remember how I mentioned we were working at a coffee shop and like at 4 a.m, you just have the most random conversations because you're like pre-coffee and you just like are out of your mind. So we just always ask each other random questions. And one of the questions was one day, what is the exact middle ground between dainty and badass?
Okay.
We're thinking all day. And at the end of our shift, we were just like, oh, it's plush, because that's like, it's dainty and cute, but it's also like, yeah. So that was kind of our thing, like ever since then, like 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And we always said that it was like, whenever we did any kind of creative project together, it would just be like, this is like plush. And then, yeah. So when we were trying to figure out the name for the shop, I was just like, it kind of has plush.
Yeah. Right. When we came together, like we were thinking about, we didn't even like plan the shop together. We just kind of happened. We're just like, you know, we should just do it, you know, why not? Let's try it out. And then we're thinking about the name, and like Amber said, like plush just seemed like the perfect fit because it's been in our history. It's been in our repertoire, and we feel essentially we are plush. So technically.
Hey.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cute. I didn't know that backstory. That's fun.
I'm curious about how you guys would describe your tattoo style. You know, I'm like a huge fan of Amy Winehouse. She's got like the Sailor Jerry style, or like Kat Von D does the portraits. So I'm curious if you guys have similar, or like if you each have your own unique style.
Oh, great question.
We're really different.
I was kind of like I guess raised in a street shop, like I do a variety of styles, which actually helps me in my career moving forward. Like I think the new generation tries to focus on one thing, but as a street shop, I started learning right at the brink of Instagram before it broke out tattooing. Okay. So at the shop I worked at, my best friend taught me how to tattoo. He's my mentor as well. he always taught me you have to learn how to do everything, like not just one style. So mm-hmm. I'd have to say my base style, like what you start off with, like your what you're passionate about is like the cat is Amy Winehouse style, the Sailor Jerry, like traditional yeah. style. Mm-hmm. That's like I did like this big painting of an eagle on the wall, like
yeah,
like I love eagles, my favorite. And it's cool to be in the PNW because all you do is see eagles around, you know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, the subject matter is all around me and I feel like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, that's but, awesome.
I'd have to say that I start off that base and then actually like evolve to like fine line now.
Okay.
Just because a lot of people are pivoting toward the finer line, finer things in life, I should say. The fine line details. So I can range. I can do like traditional and the fine line. And my mentor did Japanese, so I can also do Japanese work as well. Oh, I try cool. to do I'm not no portraits yet for me. I can do dog portraits and animal portraits, but just a human portrait's just too close for me for now.
It's a risky move.
Yeah. Then what do you yeah. do?
For me, I mostly do cosmetic tattooing. So I do eyebrows and freckles. So I could do freckles on like the body or the face. But I like to integrate it with, you know, astrology and things like that. So a lot of my clients will come in and ask me to put their like big three astrological signs, like their sun, moon, and rising sign constellations in freckles on their face.
Okay.
That's wow. like kind of, and then I can add little stars and things like that. Like people love that around here. So we like to have it kind of be like a little bit intuitive, a little witchy and yeah. kind of fun. But I do like just the regular freckles with no witchiness.
That's awesome.
No witchiness.
Just a little witchiness.
It's Portland and gotta get witchy.
Yeah.
I see you post a lot about like the freckles and stuff. I think that's really cool and very bold of people, you know, especially to like put it on their face. It's so subtle. It's not like a face tattoo, you know, but it's plush, if you will.
Yes. Thank you. I hope it becomes that shift to discover tattoos too.
There you go.
Yeah, that seems really like signature. Like,
yeah,
very unique.
Oh, thank you.
I guess how much more years of experience do you have, Tony, over Amber, like as far as tattooing goes?
I'd have to say a little more because I count my apprenticeship as experience yeah. too. So from overall exposure in the industry, I tell people about 9-10 years in industry collectively. Okay. But then I did 2.5 years of like apprenticeship. Usually apprenticeship lasts from 2 to 5 years. Traditionally. So I did 2.5 years before I started tattooing. I've been professionally tattooing. This is my 6th year of tattooing. So I guess like 9 years, I guess.
Yeah.
9 years.
Yeah. I just was witnessing in the background.
Yeah. She is.
This whole time collecting my data. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just try it myself too. So
she got inspired.
Do y'all ever like, cause like obviously whenever I was there, like, we'll talk about what the tarot tattoo looks like in a minute because, you know, I want everyone to hear about that because it was so magical. But obviously, you know, the whole tattoo process itself was with Tony. Do y'all ever, like, do duo tattoos or anything? Like, or is it always just, like, either Tony or Amber?
Not super. We do, well, we have clients who we tattooed the tarot tattoo and then I added freckles around it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a couple of those.
Like a collaboration. We definitely have done quite a bit of, since Amber has been involved in the tattoo, in my tattoo career now, because we all moved in together. She's definitely made some designs and some people, you're mentioning the tarot specifically, but tarot tattoo, but during that tarot tattoo, me and her will come up with a design. And sometimes, a lot of times she'll come up with a design and I'll end up tattooing it. So it's like a collaboration between our party. Which is mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. It comes full circle. Or sometimes like I'll help her with the design and then she'll tattoo it on someone else. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun process. Like I went into it blind and y'all are such a good team, you know.
Aww, thank you.
Thank you.
It wouldn't have been the same without one of you, you know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Yeah, man.
Well, we touched on the tarot. That's a good segue into like, what does the tarot process look like? Because I loved it so much. I've told so many people about it.
Oh, nice. Thank you. So much. Thank you.
Yeah, the tarot I'll tell a little, a brief story about it because it's kind of crazy. So when we first moved into this space that we're in currently, we had another location before, but we moved in and then we had our, one of our first literal first clients here was a psychic. And she was like, hey, I just want to like we weren't, we were like, oh my gosh, she's a psychic. But like, we don't want to be rude and like ask her like whatever.
Yeah.
She just volunteered and she was like, listen, I just have to tell you this, like something is gonna happen with this shop, like you guys are gonna be really busy with something having to do with like intuitive tattoos, so like if you ever have an idea like that, then just lean into it. And I was like, okay, because we had already been thinking, we didn't even tell her this, we had an idea to do like a get what you get tattoo based on a tarot reading. So a lot of times I get what you get tattoo. For anyone who doesn't know, it's like you go in and sometimes there's like gumball machine or like a random roll of dice and you have to get whatever you get as a tattoo. And I thought I kind of wanted to have something with meaning as well. So came up with the tarot idea, didn't do anything with it. And then the psychic came and she was like, yeah, if there's something like that, I don't know, you should just do it. And we're just like, done, like it's done. So you come in, you get you have no idea, we don't even know what you're getting that day. you get a tarot reading and it's a legit tarot reading. Like we spend time, we put intention, we do a grounding meditation right before, because it's a collaborative process and we like to sync our creative energies all together, so it's very intentional every part. Do the reading, we'll, you know, laugh and cry together, and then we'll take like 30 or 40 minutes to like come up with the design on the spot. So like the client can go have coffee or whatever, walk around and enjoy the post-reading bliss. And then we're in here just like thinking of what the tattoo could mean or what the, you know, like a lot of times there's themes of like a new beginning. We'll do something with a seedling or something that's related to the reading. Because when we do these readings, we kind of call upon your spiritual team, like whoever you lean on to give you, you know, guidance and lessons that you'll need, not only just today, but like however long you have the tattoo, which is forever. So helpful messages that can be kind of reminders, like in the tough times or like, you know, whatever you might need. So that's the hope behind it.
Yeah. And for anyone that like hears that, they're like, oh my God, like what if I don't like it? We also spent time talking about what I don't want. So like, it was funny whenever you pointed to the eagle behind you. I don't know if y'all remember this, but I was like, no birds. And y'all were like, okay, why is that? I was like, I don't know. And they're like, what's your sign? I was like, I'm a Pisces, so I'm a fish. And so that's where the name birds came from.
I remember that.
So yes, there is a bit of tailoring to it, you know, around like what your style is. So it's not just like completely blind, you know? Yeah. But it was a magical process because...
Thank you.
I was saying at the top in our intro, like, that's been one of the reasons I haven't gotten a tattoo in so long is because I never can, like, decide what I want. And so it really, to me, just, like, take the pressure off because that's a big decision, you know?
Yeah, and that's the perfect client for this kind of tattoo as well because it's not just like a, you have to get this. Like if I don't have a client at the same time, I'll draw, you know, one or two designs too. So it's like, they have a choice. So it's like, but it like narrows it down, you know? So it's like, it's not like I have all these tattoos to think about. Like, oh no, I have this one or this one.
Usually. I mean, it's cool how the process has evolved too. Like when we, from the beginning, when we told the psychic, like we're going to do it, we just brought the idea and she said, go for that, like do that. And we're like, full send, you know, we just did it. And it's been cool. Like, honestly, we've been really successful with it. And I do like the fact that there's like multiple like choices too. Like most times, like Amber said, get what you get, you'll get want to maybe, but depending on like how the styles evolved, I was gonna say is that we used to have like a spread, we'd pick one card and we have like a database of like all these tattoos, all these ideas per card. But whoever listens to the podcast and went to the beginning process of our tarot tattoo, it's been really evolving. Every time we do the process, we come up with new ideas. So now Amber does just like a full-on spread, like whatever cards will fall out, we'll do it. Before it was just like one card, you know what I mean? Like, so it's really cool to see the process like evolve as time goes on. And people have been really having a lot of fun with it. We've had people like travel from like as far as Florida so far, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Canada too. So people from Canada, like, and on a regular basis, people like drive from Seattle to come down, which is insane. Yeah. It's a couple of hours. I'm just like, wow. Yeah. You know, just to hang out with us, throw down some cards and get tagged.
It's kind of overwhelming. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll see those, like, because we have a booking notification and I'll be like, oh, cool. And then whatever. And then I'll think, oh, they're coming, right? And then they come and then they're like, oh, I'm from like a faraway land. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to cry. Like, this is crazy.
Oh my gosh. So what was, Derek, do you remember like what card or cards were pulled for you? And then like, can you describe the tattoo? Maybe they can share like how they came up with it.
Yeah, I remember exactly. So the Ten of Cups fell out first. And we were very excited about that because the Ten of Cups is kind of meeting your goals, like kind of like fulfillment, right? And then the Tower came out, which is kind of like a stumbling block to get in the way, right? So that's kind of where the idea of the tattoo came from, which was a chrysanthemum flower, which is kind of opening up to that opportunity. And then what Amber does is she creates sigils, which I would love to hear a little bit more about. And like a word that came up during my tarot reading was perseverance. And so she created a sigil, which is like a unique, you can come up with a better word than me, but no one else is going to have this sigil. It's very unique to me. And so the chrysanthemum flower is the protective sigil, which is meant to, and it has a protective eye, I believe, in the middle, which is meant to protect me whenever that big obstacle comes, so to help me through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you remembered everything.
I know. It was like great.
I loved it. It was so meaningful.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, the sigil. So yeah, I'm glad I forgot to mention that. That's another option in our little tiers. Mm-hmm. So a sigil is like, I like to think of it as visual spell work. So like, I'll take a word and I'll use what I like to call word magic. And I take the word apart basically. And then I arrange the pieces of the letters into a symbol. And when I'm doing it, I'm really putting a lot of intention and a lot of protection into it. And a lot of good vibes in there as well, depending on what the reading called for. So yeah, for Derek's one, we put a lot of like, not only just protection, but like also kind of like mental stamina to, you know, be able to get over whatever that roadblock is slash was slash will be, in order to get to that Ten of Cups beautiful moment.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've hit the tower yet, so we'll see whenever it happens.
I feel awful. Like you're constantly hitting the tower, Derek.
I know, my whole life is a tower. So next week I'm going to film for like a TV show, the yoga studio. So nice. Maybe that'll be the tower.
Maybe we'll that's see. The tower. Yeah.
Okay.
Congrats.
It won't matter because you're protected.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the TV show, but it's going to be like 6, like 12-hour days of filming. So I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to survive this? So
whoa. You got it. You got it.
Yeah. You have to let us know so we can watch when it's done.
Yeah,
I will, definitely.
I am really curious about just the business of all of it. You know, I feel like with any time you have like a physical shop and people need to make appointments, like, are there specific, you know, challenges that you guys want to speak about or what has that been like? Cause I feel like I could be wrong, but I feel like something like tattoo definitely may come in waves, but.
Yeah, it does come in waves. We're at the end of like slow season, quote unquote.
Okay.
even though it's kind of backwards because people like to get tattooed in the summertime when there's so much temptation to like jump in a lake and ruin the whole thing. But winter is the best because there's no sun. There's, you know, staying inside, you're resting and you can heal really nicely. But for some reason, people don't like to get tattooed in the winter, which is fine. But yeah, I think that's kind of the main thing is like, it should be the other way around.
I feel like the waves of tattooing too, it really depends, honestly. Like, I feel like if someone properly has a business plan that is organized and stuff, you know, it's easy to like to build your clientele. You know, I think a lot of times tattoo artists are artists and not business people, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily me and Amber are from, I like to tell people, we're from a very corporate environment, so we try to like, we like, if you look at any of our stuff, like it's super corporate looking. So we like that part of it, but we don't like the impersonableness of that. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
So when it comes down to it, like we really want to like, we're just starting, but I feel like I attribute the success of our business to that corporate-esque mindset of organization. Mm-hmm. Cause then we're really taking our clients super seriously. It's not just like, oh, art project, you know, it's like literally like this guy, I need to make sure like they have a great time. They have a great tattoo. They have like all of these like check marks we want for our business, because we've both experienced like our own tattoo personal experiences and all that. So to kind of like, to answer your question, like we're hoping that right now we're just starting, but I feel like we've been pretty successful, and I feel like it's just because we have a professional edge and also the intention on top of the professional edge that helps us keep afloat even in a slow time. You know what I mean? Like, but they do definitely come in waves. I feel like spring and summer, that's when all the tourists come. That's why like a lot of it starts getting busier, you know, like.
Yeah. I feel like tattooing does intersect with a lot of areas that maybe other artists don't. Like, you're dealing with people directly, you're touching them, you have to deal with the cleanliness, you have to deal with certain laws, I assume, that go with that. So it makes sense. But like you're saying, like, I'm sure there's a lot of tattoo artists that don't approach it in that kind of regimented way.
I think so. I mean, not to like toot our own horn or anything, but I feel like I think our shop is kind of unique in that. And I don't want to bash any other shops because I don't know too many. I haven't visited enough here, but I just, knowing what I know of tattoo culture, like, I feel like we're doing things that other shops wouldn't think is great for tattoo business. Like, we just started a stamp card, which I've never seen any other tattoo have a stamp card. but we kind of draw inspiration from like our corporate jobs that we've had in the past and try to make it like kind of fun and approachable in that way. But because we're doing, like, I don't want to say pioneering, but we're like doing things that other shops don't do, like it is extra work and we get tired really quickly. So we do employ a lot of like little witchy things here and there to like keep the calm and like keep things kind of chill.
To refer back to tarot, there's a card that we always get called the Seven of Pentacles, and basically it's in the original Rider-Waite, it's a person tending to a garden of pentacles and the bushes instead of plants. And basically it's our mantra. Basically it's like, you plant your seeds now, but you don't eat the seeds you plant right away.
You know, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit.
Sure.
That's our
philosophy. So we're just trying to do, you know, we try to approach every tattoo with the best intention and hope that person will tell their friends, you know, very slow moving, just like the Seven of Pentacles. Just like, you have to have that patience. You have to have that faith that you're doing the right thing. And we're just hoping we're doing that, you know, for our clients, if not for us, you know?
Yeah. So what's the reward? You fill up the stamp card. What do you get?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So you can do. So this time we go by visits. So here's the stamp card. Garden has five squares on it, and each square represents a visit. So you could either get a tattoo, you could refer somebody to get a tattoo. So if your friend gets a tattoo and mentions your name, then you each get a stamp.
Nice.
you can stop by the shop and let us take professional pictures of your heel tattoos. So if you're in the neighborhood and you're like, hey, I have some time, you know, come by, let us take photos. And then you get a stamp. So that's pretty good. You can do two of those per card. Cool. And then also we just started doing gift cards online. So if you have people in your life who like, you know, maybe just want tattoos for their gifts throughout the year, then each card represents $100 gift card. Mm-hmm. So we like to say, if you want to scam us, you can just buy a $500 gift card and you'll get a $600 tattoo, because once you fill it, you get $100 off.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can stack them too. So if you tell like 20 people to get tattooed, then you just get.
I was going to say, everybody listening, when you go to Plush, you can say Derek's name and he will get
We'll honor it.
Yeah, Derek, you can
hear
your stamps from afar.
Derek, next time you come, you'll just get a free tattoo.
I'm down.
I love it. I mean, if corporate, any type of marketing is like a rewards program is like one of the best things you can get. So it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that's smart. I love that.
We like to keep it whimsical too.
Yeah.
It's
like an inner child healing thing for us too. Like we're painting on the walls. We're like doing these little stamp cards and goodie bags and stuff. It's just fun.
Yeah. We try to have some fun and try to get back to the clients. Like I try to think about, you know, what I wish I would have got, or I still get tattooed. You know what I mean, so I have that exposure to shops, like to different tattoo shops and different environments, and I like to read there. You know, when you walk in, you walk into any establishment, you can just tell off the bat, like, oh, welcome, not welcome, weird, cool, totally. Chill, not chill, don't want to spend my money, want to spend money. You know what I mean, like, you know, that's what like I find those, like I feel like that's why I like to get tattooed every year. So like, on top of me collecting, I get to experience a different tattoo experience and be like, okay, so what can I, ooh, I can fine tune. Oh, I like the way this business does this, or I don't like the way that business does that. You know what I mean? Just like, I look at it, every opportunity is like business-wise, as if when I was learning how to become a shift supervisor, like someone told me like, pick everything you like from them and get rid of everything you don't like. And then add it to your repertoire and you'll be even stronger, because you just literally, you know, so that's kind of, you know, what we're doing here. We try to, at least.
No, I think that's important. That's great. Same thing there. If I take someone else's yoga class, right?
Yeah.
Kind of see what I like or don't like from that. And one of the things that y'all do that I think is unique is that you're 100% vegan.
Yes.
And so I'm curious, like, you know, what does that mean in totality? You know, because, you know, obviously immediately people would think like vegan ink and stuff like that. But I know there's some like non-obvious things that you'll do that are vegan too. So how does that work?
Totally. We're both vegan. So we definitely, that was kind of a non-negotiable for us. And a lot of inks are kind of default vegan these days, just because it's more clean. You know, animal products are kind of hard to sanitize, I imagine, because it's just like they're dead bodies and stuff. So it's like just better to not include that in my mind anyway. So every piece of equipment, every product, like we kind of go crazy and vet, making sure that it doesn't have animal products. It's not tested on animals. And when possible, we do the eco-friendly option. So, but we're kind of beholden to obviously the sanitation laws, and everything is disposable. But what's really cool is that there's companies now who make like biodegradable ink caps and like, you know, cord sleeves that are made of, you know, corn instead of plastic. So if the option exists, like we have it in the shop. Specifically vegan, like, you know, for example, you have to shave sometimes, like a hairy arm or a leg, and those gel strips on the razors contain gelatin. So ours, we make sure it either doesn't have the strip or the strip is vegan. You know, even down to like our cleaning products, we make sure of all that too. So yeah, we really take the time, and it is a painstaking work to research all this, but, it's our baseline. So we, it's non-negotiable for us.
Yeah. I love that. I'm not vegan, but anytime someone is doing things with intention, you know, that's always like high respect to me, you know, because I'm, you know, especially the eco-friendly side, I'm glad that you touched on that, because like, you know, my husband gets annoyed with me because I have like a compost bin on our counter and stuff. I'm like,
we have to. But also sometimes like you're saying, like the strip on the razor, like that's not necessary. Like,
right. Yeah.
Wasteful. Like, let's just be more mindful.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's animal products in so many things.
I know. I feel like I have been plant-based for a long time, but even still, I feel like stuff comes up. Like, for the longest time, I didn't realize like wine had like animal enzymes or was fermented. And I was just like, are you serious? Like, I feel like there's so much stuff I still am learning.
And it's like, why do you need that in there? Like,
right.
First of all, who thought, who's the first guy to be like, we need to put a bladder in the wine? Like,
no.
It's bizarre. Yeah.
It's very medieval, if you think about it.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Then it's crazy because with us, we try to stay evolved, stay fresh. Not saying that veganism is evolved, but in the same time, it kind of is. We're trying to, like, stay away from trying to, like, think of new ways to do things when we haven't done things the way we have. So even going back to the wine, you know what I mean? The wine is like, wow, you know, that's processed weird, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually had a winemaker on last season who shared with us a lot, and her wine is vegan. And she said, you know, it's way cheaper to go with the bladder. So she was saying how the process is, it's cheaper and quicker. So it's like, okay, obviously, in our society, everything has to be cheaper and quicker, I guess. And it's like, wow, if you have, we were talking specifically about, like, I have a friend who developed an allergy to pork, like in her mid-30s. So it's like, she was, you know, you're eating stuff that you don't even realize has touched pork, because they're not required to put that on the label that it was aged in that manner. So it's just like all this stuff that it's like, wow. Obviously, ignorance is bliss, but man.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Crazy. It's so crazy. I was going to say, like, part of this is like kind of part of the vegan thing too, but is that we try to be really non-harmful to our clients as well. You know, we don't push them to pass their, you know, breaking point, you know. And if you're hurting, we'll probably break it up into another session or something like that. But it's also a safe space for people. We're like super, all of our sisters are gay, basically, except one. And we're very much allies, and we wanted to create a safe space too, because it's not always a safe place, a tattoo shop for people in the LGBT. EQ community. So we also wanted to bring that aspect, because that's part of veganism, we think, is like just being kind and offering that, like, to hold space for people, as well as being like a neurodivergent friendly space. Like, our lights aren't super bright. Like, we have all these little tiny things that you can like focus on instead of focusing on the pain. You know, you can bring your headphones in and like just, you know, if you get overstimulated easily, like, we're very accommodating for, you know, any body who comes in here. So yeah,
I did remember that whenever Tony was tattooing me, he probably asked me like 5 times, are you okay? Are you not hurting you too much? You know, I was like, I appreciated, you know, that really intentional care. And then that kind of started to answer my next question, actually. Because one of the things I loved, you know, whenever I looked y'all up, was y'all like, no racists, no homophobes, you know, and y'all also don't do tattoos that could be that, construed that way, right? So I'm curious, have y'all had times where you've had to, like, turn someone down for, like, something you wanted to do, or?
Luckily not yet. Okay. I think our marketing scares them away.
Yeah. <to be honest. laughs>
Like, I don't know why a racist or a homophobe would choose us.
Sure.
But, you know, if they did, you know, I'll be ready, I guess, but not going to do that. Hoping that they just will stay far away from us.
I think it has a lot to do with your intention too. Like you, like you said, like we intend the best for our clients and we have intentions for our shop. And I feel like if you have, the mind is so powerful, like I feel like our intention is also part of our like repertoire, trying to cleanse the space that we're in, you know what I mean? And try to get good energy in. And I feel like if you have good energy, you're going to attract good energy, you know? So luckily, yeah. I don't want to discriminate against the clients, obviously. You know what I mean? But luckily all of our clients have been just like really great, stellar. They've been like so kind and nice. Like it's insane. Like I used to work at other street shops and all the walk-ins I have are just like, I don't know, like random people sometimes and different energies. But it's really crazy when you have the intention and you set, like you show what kind of person you are in line. You keep presenting such, you know, content, like people, the right people will come, you know. And I feel really blessed, like we haven't had to deal with anybody too difficult. And yeah, man, I just feel blessed, honestly.
Me too. Yeah.
All of our clients are awesome.
Yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I haven't really thought about that way, but that's kind of how I present the studio as well. And I haven't really had any issues with like people that come to classes or anything, you know. It's just been people on the same wavelength, you know. So I think Yeah, if you make it clear what, you know, what you're doing, then those kind of people are going to be attracted to you. And makes sense. I love that you are creating that safe space because, like, you know, I was nervous, you know, to get my first big tattoo in Baton Rouge, which is where I grew up, because it was more like a street shop, right? And it was a guy with a really good reputation and, like, some friends had recommended him, but it was still like kind of an intimidating environment because it was like, you know, kind of a stereotypical tattoo shop. And I come in here as like, you know, this gay guy, and I'm like, are they going to think I'm weird, you know? And so thankfully it was a great experience. And like, I would, you know, recommend him all day, every day. But yeah, there's, you know, not everyone fosters that environment. I'm sure, you know, he was one person in there and that's his environment. Maybe not everyone's, you know? So yeah.
I also think, I mean, it's important to say it because it's like, as of any business owner, like you want to get the most business that you can. So, I mean, you guys both have tattooing skills and, you know, like if you were struggling, if you weren't as busy, it may be hard to set those boundaries. You know, I know some artists have certain boundaries and some are just, I wrote a book about a tattoo artist and that is his main issue is that like he needs to make money. So he does, you know, spring break tattoos. He does not want to, but he needs money. So he puts down his boundaries. So I think it is something that like needs to be said because the niche is good, but it's hard.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. Very precise.
Very relatable.
Relatable for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Harry is an author. You'll probably don't know that. Nice. She has a cool, it's actually two books in a series, Oil and Ink and Neon Highway.
Whoa. Ooh. Those are cool titles.
Are they fiction?
Yeah. I wrote the first one after I had a dream about a male tattoo artist that gave tattoos out of a truck stop in South Dakota.
Wow.
So I decided to write a short story. And so I wrote that in college. And during the pandemic, I started thinking about it again, which I went to college in like 2006 and 2007. So over 10 years later, I started thinking about that character again. And I always have heard like if an idea keeps coming at you, you should do something with it. So I decided like, let me try and make this a book. And so right now it's two books. I'm still not opposed to making it longer.
Cool. Ooh,
I kind of want to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, I encourage her. I've read both of them and I was like, it takes a good writing style and like an interesting storyline for me to get sucked in. And with those books, I was like sucked in. I was like texting Holly the whole time. I was like, what's going to happen?
We
got to
check this out.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to get back into reading too, so that's probably a good intro back for us.
They're good. You'll enjoy them. Well, we're getting close to the hour, so our last question, as always, was there anything that we didn't ask that you wanted to talk about?
where we're like, yeah, more about the business. I always feel like we don't talk about the business of it as much, like, because we get so sucked mm-hmm. into talking about what you guys do.
It's part of the business still.
I have a good one. So yeah. We did a little bit touch on it, but part of our mission is to also help just people feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And we take it really serious, and we kind of take people's vibes into account when we design a tattoo, but also, like, we've been doing a lot of really amazing gender affirming stuff recently too. Especially in my side of things, because you know, eyebrows can really affirm somebody, or even freckles too. And in the tattooing part too, it's like, we're just trying to make people like, let people adorn their sacred vessel, their temple, you know, in a way that makes them feel like home. So I wanted to just put that out there, because that's like what we talk about it so much. Like, when the client leaves, you know, you're exhausted and whatever, but then we just, like, we don't even plan this. We just kind of gravitate towards each other, and we just, like, hug each other and just be like, wow, we just, you know, we just made them feel good, you know? So that's like the vibe every day. And I wanted to just put that energy out there and just, you know.
I agree with Amber. I feel like our main goal, like, I changed my path so much since I started tattooing. Like, I wasn't trying to be a tattooer when I got into it. Like, I was a psychology major. I actually had my degree on the wall here as a joke kind of thing, you know, but a joke of some sort, you know, it's kind of, I'm still paying for it. So I guess the joke's on me, but like, it's just kind of like a way to, like, let people know, like, just because you're on one path doesn't mean, like, that's your main path, you know? Like, I'm tattooing randomly, and before, my main goal was to be the best tattooer I could be, you know what I mean? Now, I think since we've gotten our shop, my goal has changed to just making the best I can tattoo with for my client, whatever the case may be, you know, and making them feel good in their skin suit. I call it skin suit, you know what I mean? Like, because technically we're all, like,
soul.
We're just trapped in this, like, body that you're given when you're born, you know? And we also try to include, like, speak a gender affirming stuff too. We really try to use pronouns here too. We try to, like, try to really make the person feel as good as we can. You know what I mean? Like Amber said, and just because tattooing has become so, like, just populated, and just, like, you have this, like, idea of what tattooing is in your head, just lay down, get the tattoo, pay, and leave. But we want to give you a little bit of a calm experience and a comfortable experience. Like, that's what we want. Yeah, I feel like the best tattoos come from a very calm and relaxed spot. Yeah. And if you haven't never had a calm, relaxed tattoo, please come to Plush. See the difference, maybe, and then you can decide for yourself. Like, I've been tattooed other places where it's crazy, metal music's banging, you know what I mean? I love it. Hip hop music's banging. I love it. I love tattoos. I'm fully covered almost, but, you know, it's cool to, like, have that opposite shit where you come into a nice private place where you get the cool tattoo, but none of the other craziness, you know? You just get the cool tattoo, and you get your respect, and you believe, you know? So that's our goal, you know?
Yeah.
It's simple. That's the mission. But hopefully we can, you know, each tattoo we're doing it,
It's actually funny. It reminded me, like, the week before I came to Portland, I was in Vegas for a conference for work. And at the hotel the hotel that I was staying at, they had a tattoo shop inside, right? Because those Vegas hotels are like malls, you know? Yeah. And I kept, like, seeing this tattoo shop whenever I would go to the conference. And I was like, I can't imagine getting a tattoo in there. Like, because it was just so open and, like, loud. And, like, there was, like, glass to ceiling, like, walls. Because it was, like, kind of a production. And I was like, I'm looking forward to this tattoo I'm going to get next week. You know, more, like, you know, controlled environment. So.
Yes. That's, I'm glad. What you're saying. I'm glad you felt that way. Let's go.
Exactly. Well, where can the people find you? Y'all have a really good social media game.
Oh, yeah. So we're on Instagram and TikTok at plush.pdx, like Portland. And then our website is plushtattoo.me.me. On TikTok, we do, like, silly things. On Instagram, we post about, like, what walk-in availabilities we have for the day. Mm-hmm. And then you can book on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And I like on your Instagram stories, whenever I say you have a good social media game, because with a tarot reading, you'll kind of say like, which tattoo did they go with? And you can actually like vote which one you think that the client went with. I like to do those sometimes.
It's so funny because like, I always joke about this, but nobody gets it right.
Right.
A lot of the time people don't get it right, but then it's like, I love that because it's so unexpected. For the client.
Yeah.
It's all about the get what you get style. And that throws the person right in the middle. So it's like, oh man, what a juxtaposition. Like I have to pick these designs. Like, you know, it gets you excited because you're excited for the person, but also you're like, wow, like if I had to choose, which one I would choose, you know?
Right.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And some people even get the reject designs too.
Yeah. Sometimes
they're like, oh, can I get that?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
People also like, I actually like that. Can you put your spin on? Can you flip it around for me or remix it? I'm like, oh, let's do it, man.
That's cool.
A lot of times, like, because I remember the readings or I like write down what the readings are about. And then it's like, we'll get to talking about the design and it's like, oh, the reading actually fits for them too. So it's like a layer of like witchiness. And I love it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. The energy, you know, it's just all connected.
Sure. Yes. I also wanted to say really fast is just that we're very, very like we try to be approachable. So if anybody wants to reach out, we'll get back to them as soon as we can. You know what I mean? Like it's just us two. We're the only people in this business. Like you talk to me and Amber, we're trying to be a mom pop shop. You know what I mean? And we try to be as polite and reach out to clients that want to reach out to us. So reach out.
And we're nerds. Like we love to geek out about tattoos. So feel free to send any ideas.
Very approachable. You're accomplishing all your goals that you've set out to accomplish. You did it all. So yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I find it was so good connecting and actually seeing you all again, you know, and like I said, next time I'm in Portland, I'll see you again. And if you come to Austin in the meantime, hit us up.
Oh yeah,
we sure will. Sure. Thank you for inviting us on the podcast.
Thank
by
you
the
so
way.
Much.
How's your tattoo? Course.
Oh yeah, how's your tattoo?
Yeah, how is
it? It's good. I need to send you a picture. I was just thinking about that. Yes. I sent them a picture. You know, I need to do that. It's great. It's wonderful. It's held up so well, and everyone loves it. So
yes.
Oh good.
Yes. Yeah.
I get lots of compliments.
Yeah.
For sure. I do. Yeah. Yeah. It's very unique, you know. I mean, obviously it's been winter, so I haven't been wearing shorts that often, but whenever I do, everyone's like, oh, that's cool.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yay. And anytime I see it, like, you know, because I do like recordings of like me teaching and stuff, and I'll see it peek out every now and then, it just makes me happy.
Yay. You're
like, oh, I'm on the way to the Ten of Cups. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that.
Okay. That's a good reminder. Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll be good. It was good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you again
soon.
Yes, you will. I promise.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Holly, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OrangeJulia7. Also on thebitterlemon.com and on Etsy, Bitter Lemon Digital. And Derek, where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram with my personal account at Yoga with Derek, and that's D-E-R-E-K, spelled the correct way. And on Instagram for Yoga for All Humans, it is at Yoga for All Humans on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Don't judge my TikTok game. I'm still learning. On LinkedIn, you can sync up with me, Derek Hagler, on there. And Yoga for All Humans has its own LinkedIn account as well. And of course, yogaforallhumans.com is the studio's website. Small Business Happy Hour has its own Instagram account at Small Business Happy Hour. Or you can email us at smallbusinesshappyhour@gmail.com.
Cheers. See you next Tuesday.